Well, so we all wind up with why questions rumbling around in our heads, right? The big whys, why are countries like Haiti the way they are, or Mexico, or why was this suffering in my life, or why does he allow this, or why am I here? We have smaller whys that show up in our lives too, you know. Why in the world did the Mavericks have to draw the Miami Heat again 5 years later with the trifecta, you know, in place? And here's my question. We've got four kids. Why are all of them early risers? Right? Why? How many of you, whenever you were little, you asked your mom or your dad why, and they just said, because I said so, or because? Come on, let me see your hands. Everybody, right? How many of you as a parent have also said that? If the person next to you didn't do that, turn to them and just say, don't lie in church. Don't do that. That's not right. Why question? We're focused on one why today. Just one. Why are we a church that believes in being and doing everything that Ron just described? Why? Is it because we do this so that we can earn our way to heaven? Is it because we just are following a tradition? Is it because we just like to teach our kids that doing nice stuff is cool? Is it because social justice is popular right now and so we go around helping people a lot? Why? Why do we do what we do? We are here individually and corporately as a body. We are here as a church to glorify God. Ron listed the Great Commandment and the Great Commission as verses that fueled our vision to receive and equip and impact and send. But I'd like to place one more thing that fuels even those two statements of our Savior, and that is that ultimately we are here. What's behind it all is that we're here to glorify God. Let's unwrap that for a minute, because sometimes what happens is we see that word glorify and we just think, okay, well, that's what we sing. It's in the songs. And so they get the guitar and we get going. And I like that song. That sounds like a spiritual churchy song, you know, and a word that I'm going to use in the first part of the service. And it just makes sense. But check this out. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8, it says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. Why? To confirm the promises made to the patriarchs so that the Gentiles may glorify God. Christ showed up so that he fulfilled his mission here. So that, why? So that we would come along and glorify God. Our purpose, to glorify him. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You know this verse. Many of you, you've seen it before. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it most of the time, in most circumstances, with a few exceptions to the glory. No, all of it for the glory of God. I tossed some definitions and thoughts about God's glory on the screen. To glorify God means that I recognize him for who he is and for what he's done. God's glory is the revelation of his character and of his presence. The lives of Jesus' disciples, right? Not only in the first century, but even his disciples today are to reveal his character as he presents himself to the world through them. So in John chapter 17, we're going to bust open the scripture here now and look at a prayer that Jesus prayed, not only for those disciples that he was shoulder to shoulder with in that moment, but for us. He looked through centuries upon centuries forward to see your face and my face. And he prayed a prayer for us. And in this prayer, he's praying not only describing his adventure with skin on here in this revolving globe we live on, but also what our purpose is as well. Verse 1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know. The Greek tense there shows him saying that they may know and keep on knowing you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory, the splendor, the radiance, the majesty that I had with you before the world ever even began. Christ shows us through this prayer that he had a purpose as he walked this world. And Christ lived, and he lives now. Why? To reveal and glorify his Father. Verse 6, let's read on. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. He begins to make a shift now. He begins to, in verse 6 and following, start to cast his attention to us, to the ones left. He begins to speak about and pray for his disciples. And as he prays, you get the impression that he's really interceding on their behalf, on our behalf, that we will get it. That we will really discover why we are here. He breaks it down this way. He says in this prayer that we really are to glorify him by offering and receiving the invitation of faith and satisfaction in him. Let's look at this. Verse 7. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you and they believed that you sent me. You see the wording there? Now they know. They accepted. They knew with certainty. They believed. What was he saying when he was using all of those words? He was saying they had faith. They had faith in me. Later in verse 13, he says, I'm saying these things to you so that you might have the full measure of my joy within you. In other words, so that you might be satisfied in my Heavenly Father. How do we glorify God? How does our church glorify God? By placing our faith in him, by being satisfied in him. And in the same way that Christ offered us the opportunity to know him, we are to be a church that presents his invitation to the world. To know him, to be satisfied in him. C.S. Lewis made this observation, this quote, in commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to enjoy him. You see, the two were intended to go hand in hand. So give me a picture of this, Randy. I mean, how does this look? Draw a picture, right? Okay, I've shared with you my favorite restaurant previously. I want you to think with your just a moment here. What is your favorite? I mean, if you could just go right now to any restaurant on the globe that you've eaten at, and you could go there like every week, diet aside, right, and order your very favorite meal. Picture that in your mind right now. Are you getting hungry? Does breakfast seem a long way away at this point, right? Okay, you got that in your mind? Okay, I'm thinking of Taste of Texas. It's in Houston. Again, I've described this for you before. Some of you may have been to this restaurant before. It's an amazing restaurant, right? I mean, the steak there, any steak lovers here, right? I mean, yes, right, absolutely. I mean, lemon, garlic, butter, sizzling, this steak is sitting there. I mean, it's just like radiating with heat, right? And it's got like hot rolls next to it with this honey butter that's just kind of dripping and just oozing off. And then you got this homemade raspberry vinaigrette dressing that's just kind of all over the salad. And, oh, man, this cinnamon-flavored coffee that they serve afterward. You're not hungry yet, are you? You getting there? I mean, it's an amazing experience. The atmosphere is unbelievable. And I'm telling you, in 2 weeks, our family, true story, is headed to Houston for a few days. And you know what? Here's what I believe. I have faith that if I go to Taste of Texas, they are going to offer that experience to me. And I would receive that experience and be quite satisfied. My needs would be met. And I, in that moment, would bring great validation to you. And if you came along on that road trip with me, would discover that yes, indeed, what I said was truth. And you would have that experience. And we would draw everyone's attention to Taste of Texas. You know, well, that's so silly. It's such a silly parallel, but it's so real, isn't it? What are we designed to do? To place our faith in him to deliver what he said he would deliver and be greatly satisfied in that so that we focus attention back to him. And in that, we give him glory. We say with our lives, God, I believe you will deliver and you will satisfy. And the church becomes an open invitation with ambassadors throughout this community, spreading the message, come as you are. And what you will find here is good. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As a receiving church, we glorify God when we extend an open invitation, just as Christ has done for us. No strings attached. Don't try to clean yourself up first. No need to pretend. Just come. Find faith and satisfaction in Him. As I sat when I first showed up here on staff with these advisory groups that Ron put together to get to know the church, and I heard people's testimonies, here's what I heard from multiple people. That they showed up here, they visited, and they stayed. And some of you, this is your testimony. And they stayed because they felt like this was a place that they could come just the way they are. Whatever spiritual conviction, religious experience, past, whatever their current experience is, they could come just as they are. A couple weeks ago, several of us were at a conference here locally. And a special guest showed up on stage unannounced. It was Tony Romo. Right? He shows up, and they do an interview with him. You know, big Tony Romo weekend this weekend, right? He just got married, right? I don't know if you're aware of this, but Tony Romo is a man of faith. And they were asking him about his testimony and about his experience with the team and about other guys on the team who may or may not profess Christianity. And they asked him this question. They said, if you invite guys from your team with you to church, what is it about that church that you think would actually make those guys want to stay? And his response, just right away off his lips, was, you know, if they felt like they could come just the way they are. A receiving church says, come just the way you are and find Him. Jesus teaches in His prayer here in John chapter 17 that we are also here to glorify Him through unity with others. I will remain in the world no longer, verse 11, he says, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Any of you ever watched or been a part of a four-year-old soccer game? I've got one playing right now, and that's not what Jesus was talking about. I'm just telling you. I mean, it is every boy for himself out there. This little kid, bless his heart, yesterday, I think he was like, you know, picking daisies or picking grasshoppers or something. I don't know. And he fell down, and the whole team just trampled over him, you know? I mean, he's on their team, for goodness sake, you know? And they're just headed after the ball, you know, and taking it away from each other. And I mean, it's crazy. It's craziness. They're giving awards afterwards because it was upward soccer, so everybody wins. And which is not bad. Fine. I'm doing it. And one of the kids gets this star, right, for defense. And the next kid also gets a star for defense. And that kid goes, defense is stupid. I was like, unity in action, unity in words. Wow. We are a unified, focused team here, right? Several years ago, the building industry in San Diego, California sponsored a competition among builders. Each team was to build a 3-bedroom, 2.5 bath, or 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. The winning team did this in 2 hours and 43 minutes. They used 700 people subdivided among a variety of different contractors, carpenters, plumbers, electricians. The rough plumbing, right, took 8 minutes. The main roof, 9 minutes. How is it accomplished? Well, obviously, teamwork. 700 people working perfectly to construct an entire house in 2 hours and 43 minutes. And where was the attention focused? It was focused on that builder who won that competition. And Jesus says, listen, here you go. Teamwork, unity, when it happens for you here on this earth, it focuses and highlights on my Father. So when we do life together, when we're in small groups together, when we experience what is on the other side of that wall that lists all those groups that you can be a part of, and while we continually harp on that, say, this is not a solo act. Go be a part of community together and experience life together. When we do that, when we are on mission together, our unity points a lost and dying world to Him. And as a church, when we receive, we equip, we impact the world as a team, we do that not just so that we can get more work accomplished. No. Not just because we're trying to mimic some social action initiative. No. Because we live life that way, because we're a church that believes God has told us that we bring Him glory. That we show Him off when we do this life as a team sport and not a solo activity. in Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, Paul writes, "May the God who gives you endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus." Unity among ourselves, doing life together as the body of Christ, so that, here's the why, with one heart and mouth you may bring in more money as a church. No. So that you may follow tradition. No. So that you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify Him as we help people discover that they can place their faith in Him and find satisfaction in Him. We glorify Him as we do life together. We glorify Him also, though, through holy living. Through living, big word here, right? Sanctified lives. Lives that are set apart. Check this out. Jesus describes it here, verse 16. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." Any Sesame Street watchers here? "One of these is not like the other. Which one of these just doesn't belong?" Jesus says, "I hope that song symbolizes your life, because you should not belong there. It's not your home. You shouldn't look like the others." Sanctifying, being set apart. I bring Him glory as I live a life that is sanctified, set apart. How does this happen? Does it happen by osmosis? Does it happen because I'm just breathing? I mean, how many of you, you know what I'm talking about. You went to college, you were in the university or in some other graduate program, maybe in high school, and you get a teacher, right? And it's the greatest blessing of all, right? For whatever test or assignment or whatever, you show up and they give you like 25 points just for showing up. And you're like, great day. I'm going to get at least a 25. Do we get points? Do we get sanctification points just for showing up? No. Actually, we become a light set apart as we allow our constant appointments to Him, with Him, in prayer and in His Word to impact me. And as I apply that truth to my life and experience its purifying effect on me, then that's the reality of sanctification in me. That's when I start to look more like Jesus. That's how my life begins to signify different things to the world, different priorities, different values. Say, how does that glorify God? It glorifies God because I couldn't do it. It glorifies God because you can't do it. It glorifies God because people look at you and go, they couldn't have accomplished that on their own. It glorifies God because people show up and see our lives in the arena of this world. And they ask the questions, how did she stay so patient during that difficult time? How did he keep from retaliating when they did that to him? How have her children risen up and called her blessed, even when nobody else seems to show any signs of respect in this world? How did he forgive? How did she stay pure? How did he stay so honest in that business deal, even when no one else would have done what he did? We become living testimonies of how God's story and our story intersect and the impact that that brings. That's life transformation. So we offer Bible studies on Sunday mornings, and we do small group studies, and we have women's ministry, and we have men's ministry, and all the things that Ron talked about in the equipping track here. And we do that so that we become a church full of people being trained and equipped to ultimately have this testimony. I came just the way I was, but I didn't stay there. And by not staying there, my life points back to Him. Finally, we're here to glorify Him through telling others about Christ and loving them in His name. Look at Jesus' prayer as He finishes up. John 20 and 17, 20 and 26. He says, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Verse 26. "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me be in them, that I myself may be in them." You see, in Jesus' prayer here, that He's praying for you and He's praying for me, we see Him looking out beyond those that He was currently with and modeling for us that we bring the Father glory when we live in the reality that it doesn't just stop with me. That it doesn't just stop with you. That this mission that we're on is to be a mission where the church believes in seeing our community impacted with the love of God. And that's why we're a church that's also willing to be sent around the world. And that's why when Ron spoke about HAC and Feed My Starving Children and missionaries around the globe that we support, because our chief aim is to glorify Him. And individually, corporately, we glorify Him as we place our faith in Him, as we allow our lives to be satisfied by Him, as we become transformed by Him, and we do that together. And in so doing, we go outside of this place and love others with God's love and mercy and grace. One day, I'm told, there's going to be 6 lanes going by the church. I think that when that day happens, whether it's this week or, you know, just right before Jesus returns, I think as people drive by, here's what I believe they will say, because I think they're already saying it. And if this is the kind of church, visitor, that you're interested in, this is the church that you walked into today, right? It's this church. It's the church that people say, you know, I've heard that you can come just the way you are. And even if you come alone, you still discover family. And, you know, crazy enough, people don't typically stay the way they are there. As a matter of fact, they start to exhibit love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control that just kind of goes contrary to what the rest of the world looks like. And as a matter of fact, they don't seem to be consumed with what the church can do for them. They seem to be more consumed with helping others discover what they found. That church brings Him glory. Will you close your eyes with me for a moment? God, right now we just want to corporately express thanks to You, because we recognize that humbly we come before You knowing that it's not about us, it's about You. And everything You've done here is Your work. All that You're going to do is about You. And You've just invited us along for this ride. And so God, we just wanted to say to You, first of all, thanks. Thanks for creating a place like Rock Point in the Metroplex that receives people just the way they are and helps us to become what we're not and gives us an avenue to love and send Your love to others who haven't experienced it yet. God, thank You for our leadership, for the directions that we're headed as a church, God, for all that You are doing in our future before we even get there, God. And God, I pray for those that are in this moment wondering what a relationship like with You really looks like. God, I pray that even on this holiday weekend, they would pause long enough to hear from You that You're interested in being their everything, in providing all that they need for this life and the life to come. God, thank You for this moment. Thanks for letting us experience worship as we glorify You now and as we leave these doors. In Jesus' name.